Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Nut Out continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 13th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 of 2, and our goal remains the same, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. Wow, man, we got a row to hoe, that's for sure, but we can get her done. The checks and balances put in place by the founders, absolutely brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That'd sure be nice. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Hey, Kurt, you think this report on this German woman's true? Is it really true? You know, just wondering.
Well, I mean, it's a Yahoo News piece, and I'm not sure how factual it is. They say it's, you know, their source is AFP. I can't remember what that one is, but it's Dateline Berlin. The headline reads, German woman pregnant with quadruplets at 65. I guess she's got 13 children already, and so this would bring her to 17. They say she's expecting these babies if all goes well in the summertime. I guess she did make history a little while back. When was that? When she hit 55 and she had her 13th child, she, you know, was kind of headline worthy then. Now she's done some, what do they call it? Was it in vitro or, not the standard way of, artificial insemination was what this one was.
That's not the standard.
That's not the standard practice.
I don't think we're going to go into too many details on the standard.
No, on the standard.
Practice,
no, yeah. You're right.
We're just going to say that it's ordained of God and that it's a wonderful thing, right?
That's right. Yeah. And,
is that a good way to put it?
No, I guess she has a daughter that's 44.
How many kids has her daughter had? Is she passing up mom? I mean, come on.
It doesn't say anything about that. But I do like this little quote from her right at the end of the story. She says, at first, I only wanted one child. Not all were planned, but then things happen. I'm not a planner, but rather spontaneous. And children keep me young. So,
see, I don't understand this, you know, cool, unplanned thing. Kurt, I really, and I don't know how to discuss this without getting a little too graphic on it. I'll be really careful here, but I'm just saying, look, when you're involved physically, and God's intention is for a man and woman to get together and have complete fidelity to one another and engage in the marriage covenant with one another and then, you know, be involved physically and then create a child. I would say that's part of God's plan, Kurt. And so when people say, well, we were doing all those things that it takes to make a baby, but it was unplanned. Wait a minute. It was part of the plan. You know what the plan is. You know how it's supposed to work, right, Kurt?
Well, and typically, Sam, these are pretty smart people that kind of view it that way.
They're stupid. Look, it's part of God's plan, this thing. And when you do those things and then a baby results, it's like, golly, I didn't know that was going to happen. I wasn't planning on that. Yeah. What do you mean you weren't planning on that? That's what it's for. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that appropriate sexual relationships aren't for more than just making babies, because they are. Okay, they're designed to bring husband and wife together and stuff like that. I'm not just saying there's no other value. I'm just saying you say it was unplanned. I don't even get that. That's part of the plan, and everybody knows it, Kurt. This isn't something that, you know, they don't really know, right?
Well, at least most folks, I think, got that figured out.
If they don't, that's a whole nother problem that we got to tackle another day. I'm just saying. It's, what do you mean it's unplanned? Okay. All right, RFKJR, Kurt. You got a lot of letters going on this one, buddy.
Well, yeah, and you know what RFK is, right?
I assume it's like JFK would be Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, and this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now, right?
Well, yeah, but he's not going to get much coverage for this one. Because
he's way off the reservation, Kurt.
Well, that's right. That's a great point, Sam.
Wait a minute. I say he's off the reservation? Can I say that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, I went through the reservation on the way home, but, you know, in this case, RFK is basically saying that you have big-time problems with your, the vaccinations, Sam, and that is going to put him less than, on the in crowd. You know, I guess he's told the crowds that, you know, this is in California, that vaccinations are causing a holocaust. He says they get the shot, they go to sleep. 3 months later, their brain is gone. Now, I'd say that's pretty, what would you say? Well, it's not a real pretty picture, Sam.
Does he explain that? Because I believe there's a lot of problems from vaccines, and I believe sometimes that happens. That's what the Vaccine Compensation Fund is all about, by the taxpayers being on the hook for this. But a statement like that, unless you clarify it, though, can really make people believe, you know.
Well, I guess what's going on in California, the lawmakers there are looking at banning exemptions, you know, where people say, hey, man, I don't really want it or whatever. You know, he's come out. They say, you know, the CBS local.com boys at San Francisco has said that Mr. Kennedy spoke to a crowd screening a film that claims a link between autism in children and thimerosal, an ingredient in the vaccines. And anyway, he reportedly told the crowd, they get the shot. That night, they have a fever of 103. They go to sleep, and 3 months later, their brain is gone. He said, this is a holocaust. What this is doing to our country. I mean, you know, that's pretty... but you're not going to see this kind of... I mean, he's not going to get invited on, like, Hannity, or you're not going to have him, you know, talking big time on, you know, The View, because this is really... you know, not the mainstream way of talking about this, is it?
Well, I just find it interesting because this is part of a very powerfully connected family. And I would encourage some of these mainstream press news people to give this guy time to explain himself a little further and to really start to dig in and have a healthy, appropriate, open dialogue and debate about this, Kurt.
Well, Sam, but you got to understand that. That wouldn't be helpful to those advertisers, you know what I mean?
Well, but it would be helpful for the American people to be able to find out some of the truth and the details regarding this stuff, Kurt.
Wait. The truth and the mainstream media? Those don't, you know, I mean, you can't really connect those things.
Hey, Kurt, there's a rumor.
Yes?
There's a rumor that Fox News is running around poor mouthing it, aren't they?
Well, yeah, like, you know, down their really luck and such. It is tough there at Fox News. I guess they've only brought in $2.1 billion a year. And, you know, so you got people that, I mean, it's just tough times there, Sam, don't you think?
I think they're going to probably have to lay people off in droves, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and, of course, you know, tough times there at Fox News, making $2.1 billion a year. They're just kind of like the little guys that they cover, you know, stories for.
Now, part of the problem is they're only in the billions, Kurt. I mean, they don't even have a T in front of that thing.
Good point. Well,
what's up with that? Now, does any large media group make more than Fox, Kurt? Do you know?
Well, not that I'm aware of, although, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know too much of exactly what they make, but that's a pretty good chunk of change.
I guess Megyn Kelly will run it. How much of that $2 billion do you think will roll into political campaigns? You think they're going to be funding Hillary this go round?
Well, it's been their practice in the past, hasn't it, Sam? I mean, you know, that's how they get access, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. Good point. But they've backed Hillary or the Clintons in the past, and so I don't see why they wouldn't do it again. I bet they're going to help with their presidential aspirations, Kurt. All right, we heard Hillary Clinton was pumping gas the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering, is she putting gas in her Mercedes, Kurt, or what do you think?
Well, apparently the trip to Iowa includes, Secret Service guys in the front, Secret Service guys in the back. But Hillary hasn't really driven since 1996, so I would hesitate to be in the car with her. Yeah. Yeah.
She just doesn't drive. Well, Google could drive her around. We don't even need the Secret Service anymore, do we?
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And this half hour, Liberty Roundtable, is brought to you in part by the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we're talking about Joyce Riley. We're grateful for her support. We believe in her and her radio show, and we believe in thepowermall.com. The Power Mall, ladies and gentlemen. Ask about their specials. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you, and thank them for supporting incredible talk radio. All right, Kurt, so Mercedes, I guess, is having a boom. I guess it's a 15% increased sale in the first quarter, or increased sales. 15% in the first quarter is just happening for Mercedes, huh?
Well, yeah. And, I mean, it's hard to say exactly, but Mercedes does, at least they've been known for pretty good quality. Maybe that's why folks are buying those Mercedes. Maybe it's the, the big boys at the big banks that are buying them up. I'm not sure, but that's their, they say, the best sales month in history. Mercedes, I guess, with the booming economy, huh, Sam?
Well, they're going to have more of those Mercedes at the Disney race car attractions, Kurt.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess apparently, Sam, they've got a deal where you can pay $200 to $400 to ride or drive, what they call the exotic driving experience. It's kind of like a NASCAR driving deal where you get to drive around the track a few times. You've got you get 5 or 6 laps around the track with a professional driving instructor offering you a little advice. But somebody crashed and died in a Lamborghini that was part of this exotic car racing attraction at Walt Disney World. Anyway, they say this event was intended to kind of shut down pretty soon. I guess maybe this will help on that.
You know my problem with this, Kurt? The headline says the Lamborghini crashes. But I want to know if the Lamborghini crashed or if somebody crashed the Lamborghini, Kurt.
Oh, good point.
And I know this sounds like a goofy kind of discussion here that I'm playing games with words, but I don't mean to. I'm trying to make a point. Cars don't crash. Guns don't kill people. People crash cars and people shoot guns, okay? So whoever was driving this thing crashed the car. The car didn't just crash, did it, Kurt? Now.
No, they say the it wasn't immediately clear if the driver was a track employee or customer. The driver was hospitalized with minor injuries. The passenger was a 36-year-old man from nearby Davenport. And that's the one who died was the passenger. But anyway. There you go.
Anyway, it's a tragic thing, right. But I bring it up because eventually cars might crash themselves, Kurt. You know, if Google cars can drive themselves, then Google cars could crash themselves, and it wouldn't even be a person crashing that car.
Great point.
Guns might just start being automatic shooters, too, Kurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. Be careful with that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I guess, what would you say, Kurt? U.S. chicks are in the news? More U.S. women, huh?
Let's see. The problem is what they're doing, Sam, is they're going what they call childless. Now, that's, they kind of view, I guess, many of them that having babies and that kind of stuff is old-fashioned. All I can say is I'm thankful for the ones that don't fall for that deceptive lie.
Yeah, and when they're going childless, I'm sure when they're young and they're career-oriented, they think it's just phenomenal that they're liberated, yeah. That they're really having something, that they're really, on the cutting edge. They're really, taking advantage of the American dream, and it's just incredible. The problem is, I think when these women get older, Kurt, they realize the mistakes they made. They realize what a sad scenario it is to be alone. Because they're
exactly
now saying
right.
Men
it's
aren't
alive.
Really even needed in society at all, Kurt, for anything, too. I mean, what good is a man, Kurt?
Well, and it's nice to know that there are some women who don't fall for that lie. And our hats are off, and we're going to open the door for them, et cetera.
What? You're going to open the door for them? Kurt, what kind of a chauvinist are you?
Great ladies, and it's nice to know there are people like that still in the world.
You know what my response is when they think or say, what kind of a chauvinist are you to me? I say a kind one.
Yeah, just a man that's trying to do his best.
I'm a kind chauvinist, just trying to do the good things, There you have it. But what they say is even though women believe that's kind of politically incorrect, they secretly love it, Kurt, just so you know. When, men are gentle and kind and open the door and do the right thing. Women appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. It's RSL. You don't know what that is, do you, Kurt?
Well, I used to think it was, really? It's Salt Lake, but I think that's close to it. They call their soccer team the Real of Salt Lake. And yeah, that's right. So that's why they call it a Real. It's, you know,
it's Salt Lake Real. But anyway. It's after a sports team, right, Kurt?
Yes, yes. And they've just announced some big plans. Well, they want to be the home of the world's largest alternative energy sports project in the country. And so they're going to construct a 2,020-kilowatt solar panel array that's going to generate about 73% of their electricity needed annually. Anyway, they're going to cover 6,414 solar panels, going to put them on their stadium structure and on the new covered parking areas. They partnered with this group called Arik Solar. We talked to them a little while back. That's a new name for them, but it's an interesting company. And these guys say because of their doing this, they're going to save what 450 cars would put on the road, or 47,278 trees.
Do you believe that, Kurt?
Well, I always think, how in the world do they figure that out? I guess that's the average car. Is that the average tree?
Question is, how do you translate that to trees, though, Kurt?
You're not supposed to ask those questions.
Because let me explain.
Say, glory, hallelujah. You know,
trees breathe, Kurt. You know that, right?
Yeah, and I thought that they kind of give off the stuff we need, and we give off the stuff they need.
Roger that. So if you put up a solar panel on your roof, how does that help with a breathing issue, Kurt? Do the solar panels breathe?
No. You're not supposed to ask these kind of questions,
Sam. Well, because if we're going to compare it to planting so many trees, how does that work, Kurt? I don't understand it. It's not mathematically, scientifically reality at all. These people are in la-la land, buddy.
But that's the whole point, Sam. You're just supposed to do kind of the Al Gore idea where you say, oh, yes, Al, whatever you say. They say this thing's a $6 million project. I wonder what it would be without government connections. But anyway, they say it's the largest project in the state.
Now, can I ask you a question?
And one of the largest in the U.S.
Sure. This is in addition to, I don't think solar panels breathe like trees do, but just... you know, I digress with my ignorance here. But let me ask you another question. They say that global warming is happening, Kurt, okay? In other words, it's getting hotter. And research shows it's getting hotter in the inner cities where there's pavement everywhere and all that kind of stuff. There's truth to some of those things. But it's also getting cooler out in, you know, the desert and out in, you know, open spaces and whatever you want to call it, okay? And what I find fascinating about this discussion is, let me just understand a solar panel a little bit. A solar panel is supposed to kind of attract the sun, right, Kurt?
It's best, it's going to operate best in some kind of light. I mean, if it's all dark, you don't get much out of it.
Now, if you're standing by a solar panel, do you think it would be hotter than if you weren't by one?
It seems to be.
When you create electricity, doesn't it create heat, Kurt?
That's what they're trying to do.
All right. So if we're attracting it there, then what we need to do is put these thermometers to tell that global warming is happening right by those solar panels so that it'll for sure be hotter.
And then they can sell more solar panels. Anyway, they've got them all over the place, even in other big sports entities. But these guys want to be real cool and be in the in crowd. And this is one way they're going to do it.
Not only that, Salt Lake City is going to be at the forefront in professional sports with solar panels, Kurt. We'll tell you about it in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801
669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, speaking of solar panels and alternative energy, etc., Mr. Michael Bloomberg, he's going to give $30 million, Kurt, to shut down 50% of the United States coal-fired power plants by 2017. CNS News has the details. And they say at a press briefing at the Sierra Club in Washington, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is in the news, and I guess he was talking about this at this event. He announced that he's contributing $30 million to the club's Beyond Coal campaign, which is designed to shut down the nation's coal plants. They say the $30 million is in addition to the $50 million that he already gave. So now we're talking about $80 million. At first, they wanted to shut down one-third of the country's coal-fired power plants, but now it's 50% by 2017, Kurt. Oh, you want to comment on this one?
You know, we passed on our recent trip, we passed several communities that basically rely on, I guess you could say, their people working at places where they have these coal-fired power plants. And, you know, and then, of course, you pass a whole lot of places that rely on power from these kind of places. But it just seems like... you know, these guys that are intent on stopping things like Bloomberg or whatever ought to just go ahead and work on what they think are solutions rather than just shutting down what other people's livelihoods come from, et cetera. I mean, as far as I can tell, that's a perfectly good way to produce these, the needed energy. And I'm all for solutions, but, this idea that says, hey, man, we'll just shut down all these things. Pretty soon, somebody's going to be needing a little bit of power. Might even be Mr. Bloomberg, huh?
Yeah, and I find it fascinating. What's Bloomberg's agenda? Do you think he'll end up owning wind farms or solar panels or whatever? I remember that big wind farm guy from Texas that wanted, you know, everything to be windmills or whatever. It turned out that he had a big old hand in making sure that the government, he'd put up a huge chunk of money, which sounded like he was just going to fund it all himself. But when you dug into the story, you found out, well, he was going to put in a kind of some seed money. And then the government was going to give him plenty of money. And then, anyway, it was kind of a strange deal where he was going to put seed money in, Curtin, and the government was going to fund most of it, and, well, he was going to own it, kind of a thing. When you really dug in, you found that out, and you're kind of going, wow, I'm not really as for this plan as I once thought. I mean, I'm for alternative energy. But when it's funded by that government stuff, Kurt, I have to back out quick.
Well, it's a good move, number one, to have the government out of those areas. It's, you know, you won't find it in the Constitution. It shouldn't be there. The federal government should leave that stuff alone. But the thing about Bloomberg is, you know, he's always searching for a headline. He wants to be in the in crowd, if you will. And so he views this as a way to do that, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, it just doesn't end. All right, AT&T got a big old fine, Kurt, for a security breach. Did you see this?
No, I'm not aware of that, but not surprised.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a problem for the folks there. Headline says, AT&T fined $25 million for privacy breach, Kurt. Mike Schneider, USA Today, has the details. And I guess they say it's privacy violations as well as unauthorized access to information, and I guess nearly 280,000 customers' wireless accounts. I guess customer names and customer account information were all accessed without authorization at AT&T's call center in New Mexico. And I guess that was passed on to traffickers of stolen mobile phones. The goal was to unlock devices. They say it was the largest privacy breach and data breach enforcement action to date by the Federal Communications Commission. They say as the federal government's expert agency on communications networks, they're saying, hey, the problem is they lack data security, and it's some of the most vulnerable Americans in the country, and the commission will exercise its, quote, full authority against companies that fail to safeguard the personal information of their customers. And there you have it, Kurt. They say, hey, it included the names and parts of Social Security numbers, and it just goes on and on and on. I guess it was the folks that were needing Spanish-speaking assistance, Kurt, that were transferred to the Mexico division or Mexico call center, and then that's when it went horribly wrong. And they say the problem is we normally keep our vendors to a high standard, but in this case, there was a problem. It violated our policies, but we got to strengthen our operations, Kurt. And so they paid a $25 million fine over that. And do you have a comment or two on this, Kurt?
So the $25 million is going to our government, right?
Roger that, sir.
And it's not like a contribution or a hush money payment, I'm sure. Because I'm sure that
how dare you
even
assert the suggestion?
I'm sure that some heads will roll, etc. And that kind of thing. But Sam, it seems like so much of this is just the same old stuff. We've got more and more breaches, hackers, etc. There's even a hacker story where I guess. Who was it? Some police station is paying some ransom to hackers to get their files back. I don't know if you saw this, but,
yes, I did.
It's just like maybe we shouldn't put everything valuable just available to everyone. And who knows, maybe you ought to have some real, I guess you could say tech guys that you can trust taking care of things,
What?
I don't know. What are the solutions, Sam?
Well, let's just start and back up and talk about solutions from a reality point. Okay, they say AT&T fined $25 million for privacy breach. The problem is, I guess they got some Social Security numbers, Kurt. So the answer, so that no one steals Social Security numbers anymore, is get rid of the Social Security Administration.
Amen to that.
Now, I agree that we made promises to people and you can't get rid of it tomorrow. It would take some time to work our way out of that socialist behemoth. I get all that, okay? There's ways to get out of it appropriately, though. You wouldn't break promises to people above a certain age, maybe 60 or 55. You'd say, hey, you get full benefits till, you know, till you pass away. People under that would get a graduated opportunity to exit stage left and get out of the system. Those just coming out of the system would not be allowed to join. They'd, you know, say, you know, would simply say you're on your own. There's private options out there for you by the plenty. And, you know, and so would create the sliding scale or an opt-out option, or would give people kind of a, like a severance pay option. And it, there's a variety of ways to work our way out of it. But we would do our best to keep as many promises as we could, Kurt. But all I'm telling you is the AT&T wouldn't be able to have a privacy breach and leak a Social Security number if they didn't have any. That's number one. So when you want to talk about solutions, everybody wants a digital solution or a technical solution. That's not always possible, Kurt. Okay, and so that's number one. Number two, I'm not sure why this billing system needs to be on the internet or anywhere else where it could be hacked in the second place. In other words, separating systems is one of the big keys. But why are we outsourcing United States call centers to Mexico in the first place, Kurt? That's another, in my opinion, problem. Why do we think that Mexicans can do better at taking phone calls than we can? Just because it's speaking Spanish? I mean, Kurt speaks Spanish. My son speaks Spanish. My son-in-law speaks Spanish. I mean, come on, there's plenty of Spanish speakers right here in the U.S., Kurt. So I'm saying one of the solutions is why we want to export all these things to different countries. Many of those countries, Kurt, don't have the standards that we have in terms of security and privacy. And as a result, they're easier to hack and, But the next question is this, Kurt. How come whenever the government finds a private company involved in a privacy breach or whatever, they claim that, hey, you know what, that private entity should have taken care of your data better. You shouldn't have this privacy breach. But how come when the government has a privacy breach, we don't seem to want to fine anybody for that? Who are we going to fine, Kurt?
Great point.
I find that an interesting discussion.
Yep.
So if AT&T loses your data, then, hey, man, nail them to the wall. I mean, they better be accountable, for crying out loud. But when the government leaks your information, I mean, the Social Security Administration has been hacked and numbers have been leaked all over the place, Kurt. We've had news stories about that. The IRS records have been hacked and breached. I mean, government's leaking your data everywhere, man. All right. Anyway, we're going to talk about alcohol poisoning in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby on your radio. News the networks refuse to use straight ahead. Do me a favor and go to thepowermall.com and thank them for their support. And buy, do business with the good guys, as Joyce Riley says. Thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're doing marvelous. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby talking about, well, news the networks refuse to use, to say the least. I guess alcohol poisoning, Kurt, kills 6 Americans a day, a new federal report finds. Alcohol poisoning kills 6 Americans every single day. They say mortality rates are highest among middle-aged men. Federal health authorities reported on Tuesday. I guess the report is created by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And they're tallying alcohol poisonings for the entire U.S. population. Previous analysis in the past had looked at specific groups, in particularly young people, but the agency now found that an average of about, 2,221 people die annually with alcohol poisoning. And they say 3/4 of the deaths occurred between 35 to 64-year-old males. And they say, I guess 3/4 of them were men. Previous studies have looked at college kids, but they say the problem is way bigger than that, Kurt. They say it's surprising that so many of the deaths are concentrated among middle-aged adults. They say it's a bigger problem than previously thought, but they say it's impossible to tell whether the death rate has risen because they've changed the way they track the data and the death rates. They say a lot of times it's when you consume alcohol very quickly, then they say excessive alcohol intake can shut down parts of the brain that controls your body temperature, your breathing, your heart rate, etc. And binge drinking at high intensity is causing a lot of these deaths. Now, they say they have a different standard for women and for men, Kurt. I don't know why these people hate women like this, but listen up. They say binge drinking consists of 4 or more drinks in one occasion for women and 5 or more drinks for men. Now, 38% of American adults say they binge drink at least once a month. That's according to the report. But they say the vast majority of binge drinkers, Kurt, like 90%, are not alcoholics. They say alcohol dependence was a contributing cause in only about 1/3 of the deaths, the report found. The highest amount of deaths, I guess, occurred among Native Alaskans and Native Americans. I guess they say 9 deaths per million people is the, what's going on. The bulk of deaths were among non-Hispanic whites as well. I guess Alaska, followed by New Mexico, followed by Rhode Island, and Arizona had the highest death rates. What do you think, Kurt? You want to comment on this story?
Well, typically I can tell you this, that alcohol just gets a pass. You know, it's,
Kurt,
of course,
no when to say when is the only
way.
Thing.
Yeah, right. It's weaseled its way into so many of our entities. You know, it's a major sponsor for so many of our sporting events, et cetera. And so then it basically buys the silence, in my opinion, of so much of the media. And, you know, then, you know, for example, there's a story about some havoc going on during spring break. And yet, you know, all they want to tell you is that, you know, there should have been some more, you know, some better decisions made. But, you know, individuals get where they just have no idea what's happening in their life or what happened, what's going on around them. And then they're really surprised that some havoc happens. Alcohol is not your friend, ladies and gentlemen.
And I, you know, believe people have the right to drink it, but I find this fascinating, Kurt. They want to run around and say, you got to wear your seatbelt, look how many people die, or this or that. And how come they're not talking about that when it comes to alcohol? They're trying to say, man, you shouldn't be able to have a big soda pop. You know, where's Bloomberg when you really need him, Kurt?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. The real truth, though, lies in you got to follow that money. And huge amounts of alcohol money go into, making sure that they can continue to sell their lethal product and, you know, bring it to, in fact, a big amount of it gets sold right when people fuel up their car. They can fuel up their, anyway, at the same time. Huh?
Yeah, there you have it. Anyway, I just found that a fascinating, somewhat discouraging story, to be honest with you, Kurt. It's when you look at that, you just kind of go, whoa. You know, now I wouldn't want Bloomberg to force people not to drink alcohol, but I would be supportive of a private sector public service campaign about the evils and the wrongs of alcohol. And I'd really be interested in government. I'm not trying to create a prohibition either, because I do believe people have a choice. But what I am saying is, hey, maybe we ought to not give alcohol such a pass in society. Maybe the government's ought to get off the alcohol tax dole. Maybe we ought to create a greater way to say, you know, you're free to drink alcohol, but that doesn't mean we have to endorse it and make it basically, you know, they almost try to make alcohol drinking sexy, Kurt. That it's just,
well,
man, everybody's loving it when they drink alcohol.
It's a big source of money, you know, like in our state, for example, you have the state-run liquor stores. You know, it's just incredible how it's all done. And yet we're surprised when havoc occurs, whether it's young people imbibing in alcohol or, you know, drinking and driving or whatever else. But so many times the stories will have, well, they'll be tainted. They certainly will give alcohol a pass. And I think if it was fairly covered, less people would be all that interested in participating in it.
You got that right. All right. Especially the younger generations. It's how we treat it as acceptable or not on how, you know, they will grow up and either start to become part of the alcohol consuming group or not. All right. The Postal Service chief is in the news, Kurt. They say postal chief. I didn't know we had chiefs in America. But nevertheless, the postal chief says that Congress and unions are blocking efforts to restore financial health to the post office, Kurt. And they say critical changes are needed to turn around the financially troubled post office. They say labor unions that want to preserve jobs and benefits are part of the problem. And I guess they've lost nearly $26 billion over the last several years. And, he's at the National Press Club, he said. What's holding us up is this short-sightedness, Kurt. He says, hey, we're trying to preserve the status quo here, and it's got to stop. And so the debate is going on about the future of the post office, Kurt. What do you think?
Well, you might want to give them some suggestions. I know in the past you've done that. You know, they seem to just not listen to anything real logical. They just keep spending money like it's growing on trees and are surprised when they are in a deficit situation. Huh?
They say at some point people need to step back and think about the future, Kurt. You just can't worry about today. And I think that's a wise point and say, hey, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the fact is we're going to have less need for the post office as time goes forward. However, it is constitutional. But the Constitution doesn't say they need to sell stuffed animals and cancer stamps and compete with the private sector and sell trinkets and try to compete with bigger private sector businesses on packages. It says we got to have a post office for the guaranteed delivery of correspondence, etc. Read the founders' intent and understand what the founders' problems were and why they even put a post office in the Constitution. And then say, how can we carry out that fundamental appropriate mission? And I think they ought to send letters only. I don't think they ought to send packages. I don't think they ought to have goofy stamps to promote political causes and all this stuff. And so when you really strip down the post office to its, quote, core constitutional mission, you'll find that, hey, letters is all they should basically be sending. And I submit to you that, you know what, it doesn't need to be the fastest delivery service either. You could just simply have a scenario where the post office delivered mail once a week. That's it. I know they're talking about dropping Saturday delivery and everybody's panicking. And what if you didn't get your bills on Saturday, man? Okay, but the truth is they could deliver once a week and it would still fulfill the mission, right? And that's what we need to think about when we talk about the post office. We need to say, hey, how do we minimally fulfill the core mission that the Constitution calls for when it comes to the post office? And if you delivered mail once a week, and maybe on Wednesdays, the middle of the week, whatever you want, and then you were to have the last mile not deliverable. In other words, we're not going to go to everybody's post office and have the mailman have to have dog bones so the dogs don't kill the mailman when he comes through, okay? You'd have these post office centers, and you'd go pick up your mail once a week, or you and your neighbors could take turns, whatever it would take. And you could save literally billions and billions and billions of dollars, defend the core primary purpose of the post office, but yet not melt down and go bankrupt over it. That's what we ought to do. We ought to do it yesterday. But they're not even talking about it, ladies and gentlemen. Abolish the IRS, and just imagine if you only got bills for the post office once a week. We also ought to be able to, you know what, find some way not to just be spammed by your post office. They're spamming my mailbox every day by the post office. All right, there you have it. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We the people can restore America. We need your help, though. LibertyRoundtable.com. Click and help us grow to get involved today. All right, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, we can restore America. You're going to help us? This nation shall endure.